The epistle for the 24th Sunday and last Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1. Brethren, we cease not to pray for you, and to beg that you may be filled with the knowledge of the will of God, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of God in all things pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to the power of his glory, in all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to God the Father, who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. And the Holy Gospel, taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 24. At that time Jesus said to his disciples, "When you shall see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, he that readeth, let him understand. Then they that are in Judea, let them flee to the mountains, and he that is on the housetop, let him not come down to take anything out of his house. And he that is in the field, let him not go back to take his coat. And woe to them that are with child, and that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, or on the Sabbath. For there shall be then great tribulation, such as has not been found from the beginning of the world until now, neither shall be. And unless those days had been shortened, no flesh should be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days shall be shortened. And if any man shall say to thee, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'there,' do not believe him. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told it to you beforehand. If they therefore shall say to you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' go ye not out. Behold, he is in the closets, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east, and appeareth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Wheresoever the body shall be, there shall the eagles also be gathered together. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be moved, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with much power and majesty. And he shall send his angels with a trumpet and a great voice, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest parts of the heavens to the utmost bounds of them. And from the fig tree learn a parable. When the branch thereof is now tender, and the leaves come forth, you know that summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see all these things, know ye that it is nigh, even at the doors. Amen, I say to you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." As far as the words of the Holy Gospel. My dear friends, I'd like to tell you a story this morning. Is about a very pious and devout king whose name was Alphonsus. He ruled the kingdom of Aragon in Spain. And Alphonsus had many young vassals or princes to serve him. But these men were very worldly. They seldom, if ever, thought of God and the true faith. And thus they were very ungrateful, rarely showing their gratitude for anything they received, because they took everything for granted. And King Alphonsus was well aware of their worldly spirit and selfishness. And so one day, he, the king, decided to teach them a lesson. He prepared a great banquet to which all were invited, even these young princes. And as soon as they were together, he gave a sign to begin the meal. But not one of them thought of making the sign of the cross, or even saying the grace before meals. And so in the middle of the feasting, the door of the hall suddenly opened, and a poor, disheveled beggar entered the great hall. The clothes he wore were rags. He was messy and unkempt. His appearance shocked all the princes. And without saying a word or even asking permission, the beggar went up to the table and sat down with all the nobles. He sat in a seat not too far from the king. And he began to eat and drink as if he had as much right to sit down with them as anybody else. All the young nobles were full of indignation at such conduct, and they all looked to the king. They wondered why he did not order this beggar to be thrown out of the hall at once. But the king simply sat there in silence. And when the beggar had eaten and drunk to his heart's desire, he got up, and without as much as looking at the king, or even thanking him for the food that he had received, he turned towards the door and just walked out of the hall. And as soon as he had left, a murmur of disgust broke out among the guests. "What insolence," they cried out. One of the nobles said, "A miserable man like him to dare to come in here." And another joined in, "And to eat and drink at the king's table as if he belonged here." And a third ended, "And to go away without even saying one word of thanks." And for some time they continued in this vein. But after a short while, the king arose from his seat, and he explained what he wanted to teach them. He said, "My friends, you are wondering among yourselves why I permitted that poor man to remain in the room, and you are indignant at his conduct. It was by my orders that he came here," he said. "I wanted to give you a lesson," the king said. He said, "You speak of his insolence and his ingratitude and his rudeness, but you yourselves are as guilty as he, and even more so," the king said. And then the king went on to explain, "Do you not receive daily from your Father in heaven marks of his bounty and his love for you?" And then he asked, "And do you ever think of giving him thanks?" He said, "Let this be a lesson to you. For the time to come, be grateful to Almighty God, and never let a single day pass without thanking him for the blessings he has bestowed upon you." And you can be sure that those princes took the words and the rebuke of the king to heart. They profited from the lesson they received and did, in fact, grow in gratitude. Now, my dear friends, in the epistle for today's Mass, St. Paul, he writes to the Colossians. And Colossae is a city in the southern region of what is now modern-day Turkey. And St. Paul was writing mostly to the Greek converts there, but he was also writing to some of the Jewish converts. And among those Jews, there were others who were called Judaizers. And the Judaizers were those Jews who were imposing the practice of the Mosaic law on their followers. They said that the Jewish law and customs were necessary. They said they were necessary in order to follow them before they became Christian. And thus St. Paul was writing to the Colossians to explain those errors and combat those errors being spread by the Judaizers. And so when he wrote to the Colossians, he first encouraged them to persevere. He said to persevere in their faith, assuring them that he prays to Almighty God for them without ceasing. And then after mentioning that they must continue to know God and serve him, St. Paul tells the Colossians, he said, joyfully rendering thanks to God the Father, who has made us worthy to share the lot of the saints in light. And what God the Father has done for us, St. Paul explains. He says that he has sent his only begotten Son into this world so that we may not perish, but have life everlasting. And thus Christ, the eternal Son of God, made man through his passion and death. He has redeemed us and has saved us from the fires of hell and has opened to us the gates of heaven. And so St. Paul finishes his epistle by saying, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. Now, my dear friends, in today's epistle, St. Paul is reminding us of the duty that we have to return thanks to God for all the benefits we have received. And St. Thomas Aquinas, the great doctor of the Church, teaches us the importance and the duty of showing gratitude. He says that religion, the virtues of religion, piety, and gratitude, they all fall under the cardinal virtue of justice. And justice is that virtue which helps us to render to everyone his due. And so by the virtue of religion, we pay God due honor, the honor that is his due. By the virtue of piety, we honor God, parents, our relatives, and our country. And then by gratitude, we give thanks to our benefactors, those who have helped us. And benefactor, according to a definition in the dictionary, is one who confers a benefit. And a benefit is simply an act of kindness, a gift. And thus, Almighty God, we can consider our greatest benefactor. We owe to him all that we have and all that we are. It is he who has created us by his own goodness and mercy. It is he who has sent his only begotten Son to redeem us from sin and to break our bonds from the power of the devil through his suffering and death. And our divine Savior has instituted for us his church and the sacraments that we may overcome the enemies of our salvation. My dear friends, what St. Paul was telling the Colossians in today's epistle and what he tells us too is to be grateful. To be grateful for what has been given to you. The Colossians were Greek pagans before, but they received the light of the true faith and they persevered in it, even in the midst of the terrible errors being spread by the Judaizers. Those Greeks were blessed with the knowledge as well as the means to save their souls. And thus they had much to be grateful for. We too have received that same light of the true faith that those Colossians did. We know and truly believe that Christ is the Son of God and that he was made man and died for our sins. And not only have we been given the gift of faith, which is truly a gift, but we have been given it at a time when the majority of men have either lost it or completely rejected it. You know, I don't have to tell you how bad it is in today's society. But we must stop and think that out of the millions upon millions who have been led into error or who have no care for God or His holy laws, we have been preserved from this. Almighty God has protected us from the contagion of the world. How grateful we should be for such a great privilege and gift. But one author says, it is our sacred duty not only to feel grateful to God for His numerous benefits, but also to acknowledge them and show Him our gratitude for them. And how do we show our gratitude? We show our gratitude to Almighty God in a most practical way, by living good Catholic lives. That is, by obeying His commandments, by receiving the sacraments faithfully and devoutly, by avoiding the near occasions of sin, and by striving to practice charity towards our neighbor. Many Catholics sometimes forget that Almighty God is our greatest benefactor, just like those princes in the story. They allowed the things of this world to get in the way of their sacred duties to God, especially their duty of gratitude and charity. And they needed a reminder from that good king to be grateful. And so as we celebrate Thanksgiving this week, remind yourselves and your families of the duty we have of being grateful to our greatest benefactor, Almighty God, from whom we have received everything. Be thankful to Him for giving you your life, your family, your country. Be grateful for the true Mass and the true sacraments. And most importantly, be grateful for the gift of your Catholic faith. And so as we persevere in these difficult times, let us continue in our prayers and our practice of charity. And let us follow the advice of that wise and holy king. And he said, for the time to come, be grateful to God, and never let a single day pass without thanking Him for the blessings He has bestowed upon you. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.